going down.
Once again, everybody, thank you coming for episode number 2 with the 3-point stance with Sean Smith and the number 1 Bengals fan, Drew Garrison. Today, we're going to talk about free agency, the NFL draft, and a little bit of the Juwan Howard incident. So let's just jump right into it, Drew.
How you doing, man? I'm healing from that Super Bowl loss. It's the sting's starting to go away a little bit.
It's starting to go away a little bit? Just a little bit?
A little bit. I've rewatched it like 4 times.
Oh, man. That means you're a super fan. Then. I mean, you're still blaming the refs? Just let me know. Are you still blaming the refs or no?
Well, see, that's the thing. After I watched it back a little bit, I'm never going to be okay with those calls. I'm never going to be not very upset. But when I watch the game, I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff the Bengals could have done to not be in that position.
Exactly, man. That's what I was trying to tell you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, though, it's good. It was a good Super Bowl. On to the next. With that being said, we have the NFL draft coming up here soon in April, but right now we have the combine coming up. So that's
in like a week, right?
Yeah, I believe that's next week. Guys leave next week.
Yeah.
Go starting March 3rd. I believe it's from March 3rd through the 8th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. A couple of 5 days.
That sounds about right.
It's going to be some interesting prospects, some top guys. It's going to be interesting. I wonder who you thinking the Bengals are going to draft.
Well, see, it's weird with the combine coming up because I saw a report yesterday, and I can actually pull it up. I saved it because I knew I wanted to talk about it today. It was a tweet.
I already know what you want to talk. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about guys protesting and boycotting the combine.
Yeah.
The bubble for players, which is, I think, is total BS because how are you going to expect the players to be in a bubble, but the GM's going to be out later on meeting with agents, talking, discussing? The combine is where everything goes down as far as future trades, business.
Oh, everything. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how you going to tell the players they can't go nowhere, but the agents, the coaches, and the scouts are going to be all around Indy meeting?
Going to dinner.
Going to dinner, conversing, even having drinks. You know, when they have the drinks, tell the truth.
So I'm wondering how many guys, like of the big name guys that we think of are going to skip that. Now, I know you work with a lot of players and prospects. Do you have any of your guys going to the combine?
Yes, we have 2 actually going. Well, 3. 3 out of 4 guys are going to the combine. Derek King, the quarterback from Miami, quarterback/wide receiver. Aaron Hansford, linebacker from Texas A&M. And Jaden Peavy from Texas A&M, the defensive lineman. So as of right now, our guys are scheduled to go and compete. We're not – it's the big agencies. I don't want to say big agencies, but it's the agencies that's got a 15-man draft class, like Athletes First or who else? Clutch Management. I think they got a lot of people, you know what I mean? It's a couple of bigger agencies that have a lot of guys going. I understand you got to stand for something, you know what I mean? It's like having a little mini lockout.
Right. But that's the thing that I was kind of thinking about with that is because I almost feel like most of the players that you'll see like protest it and not go are the guys who can afford to do that because their draft stock's so high, like the big guys. But you know, the guy that may be going in the 3rd round but got a combine invite, he's going to be more apt to go deal with the bubble, whether it's, you know, however they do it, because he's got to go prove himself. But you got guys like Aiden Hutchinson, for example, because I'm a Michigan fan. So Aiden Hutchinson, he's going 1st or 2nd in the draft. So if he doesn't go to the combine, I don't think anybody cares.
I don't know if he's – you like him? You think he's good?
I love Aiden Hutchinson, man. Hutchinson and that was a bad.
I like the other kid, and I'm not being funny. I just feel like he's overrated. Hutchinson's overrated. Him and the kid from Purdue. I feel like they just, no offense, they just try hard guys. He would never
that
be
loader.
A Joey Bosa. He'd never be a Joey Bosa.
You don't think? I think he's gonna be pretty good. I think, but he's gonna probably end up in Detroit.
Yeah, you know what? That's another thing. Depends where he goes to. The reason I said that is because I look at who was it? I was just having this conversation the other day too about a defensive end. He had all the hype and then it didn't do nothing when he got to the league. You know what I mean?
I could take a few of those.
Well, we can't. A lot of guys like that, you know, that don't live up to the hype. I mean, the interesting thing is just to see how it plays out with the combine, because you're going to have guys going in there with a hype, and then guys leave out of there with hype. And like you said, the big guys, bigger name guys have more time to they could pull their trump card, their joker, and say, nah, I don't feel like doing it. You know what I mean? Because you have a big name status. Everybody's going to come to your pro day. That's just like, for instance, right. We got guys at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I think, is one of the schools that had the most guys invited to the combine from one school. You think all 32 guys, all 32 scouts and GMs is not going to come to their pro day?
You've gotten into a world now where guys are quarterbacks, for example. I'm not going to throw at the combine. I'll throw at my pro day. I'm not going to run the 40 at the combine. I'll run my 40 at my pro day. So it's like, it's kind of losing some of its luster anyway, but all that really does, I think, is it puts more tape out on the guy that's maybe, you know, the second or third best quarterback in the draft that not everybody was going to watch. Well, he's going to be the one out here throwing now, so I'm going to watch him while I'm here, so it can help those guys. But I just feel like dudes are coming into the league with like a big sense of entitlement all of a sudden.
Yeah, because it's the way they take care of them in college, especially NIL. Right. You know what I mean, guys? Just in general, it's just they're babies and pacified. You know what I mean? And they some of them are not true professionals and ready to handle the NFL. That's why some guys take time to develop.
Did you go to the combine coming out of college?
Oh, hell no, I didn't go, man. All I had was a pro day. I had a pro day, man. I didn't have the combine. Should I got an invite? Yeah, but I'm not worried about it, because this is one stat I can stand on about not going to the combine. If you're good, they're going to find you, right?
Hey, you turned that into a 10-year career.
10-year career, and there's a story behind that too, though. Even with the 10-year career, I outlasted every defensive lineman that got drafted in 2003 draft class, and I didn't get drafted. That's when the Kendall Moorheads, the Jonathan Sullivan, the Kenny King, who else? Dwayne Robinson, number 3 overall pick from Kentucky. Anthony Spice, my man Spice Adams. You know what I mean? It's a lot of guys that came out of that draft class in 2003.
You know what I mean? Love Spice Adams. That dude is hilarious.
Oh, he's a clown. He's a clown. He's a good dude though. Real good dude. He's a real good dude though. So you know what I mean? So. I got to tell all these guys, you can go to the combine. That still doesn't mean you're going to get drafted. It's guys who go to the combine don't get drafted. And the combine is really more so for your medicals. Because the same workouts that you do at the combine, they're doing it at your pro day. It's just TVs and cameras there. Unless you're at a big-time school. You know, I feel sorry for the guys that's at one of them small rinky-dink schools or NAI school. You got to go have your pro day at a bigger school. You know what I mean?
Right. So. Some of those schools in Texas, man, they got to go to a high school stadium for their pro day.
Well, yeah, some of them small schools that they will have to, like the Texas Westlands or something like that. But
you guys got high school stadiums down there bigger than
colleges. Than colleges, man.
Right, it's crazy.
It's amazing, though. But, I mean, these people eat, shit, sleep, football 24/7. Here in the state of Texas. I think Texas.
I'm in Ohio, and it's like, you know, it's a fairly big deal. See, I got some trophies back here, man. I got some hardware. I'm a championship winning youth football coach, but it's pretty serious in Ohio. But that Texas level, man, I've seen some of those high school stadiums. It's some of them are nicer than Paul Brown Stadium.
Oh, yeah, and they have an indoor.
So here we go with the indoor. Everybody's dragging the Bengals because of the indoor, man.
Man, think about it. It's 32 teams in the NFL. How you not have an indoor? How you want to have a productive practice? Yeah, I get the spill you have to play in it, but come on, man.
Well, what a lot of people don't get about that actually with the Bengals is them not having an outdoor facility or an indoor facility is not really because of Mike Brown being cheap. I know that's the layup. That's the easy way to go. But what happened was when they built Paul Brown Stadium in 2000, they put that practice facility, and you've practiced on it right there by the highway. The county and the city won't give them zoning to put a dome over that right by the highway. So where they messed up was they put their practice field in the wrong spot. Now, if they get an off-site indoor facility somewhere, you got to bus the players to it because all the medical stuff's right there. Everything's in Paul Brown Stadium. So yeah. That's something I like to defend Mike Brown on that a little bit. That's not really just because he's cheap. It's just some poor planning went into place when they built that stadium.
Well, if they won the Super Bowl, they probably would have got it. But, hey, that's another subject. Say that for the next show.
Or maybe not. Maybe not. Mike Brown would be like, shit, I just won a Super Bowl without one.
Yeah, but that's the reason why some guys doesn't come in free agency. Just be
– now that. Hey, little old me, nobody. I'm just a regular dude in Ohio. I had Colin Coward in my Twitter mentions about that.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how Colin Coward found me, though, because I didn't tag him or at him. I just tweeted it out. I was like, I don't like what Colin Coward said, and here's why. And then he found it. So I don't know if he was, like, at his house just searching his name on Twitter or what.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be interesting. That's interesting. That is real interesting. Before we jump into the next topic, though, I want to hit some more on that on the combine. Is there a particular lineman, or better yet, I'm not even saying lineman because we know the Bengals need linemen. Is there a particular position that you hope your team draft? And not an old lineman, we already know that, but another position you feel like you guys need help.
I personally. If I was the person running the show in Cincinnati, if I was Duke Tobin, who's basically the Bengals GM,
yeah.
I wouldn't even be planning on using my first round pick. I'd be on the phone trading it for a good established lineman that I already know is good, like a team that maybe is in a rebuild or has some cap issues and they got to get some money off the books. I'm calling them first. Like, what lineman do you have for this 31st pick? Because my thing with the Bengals is I don't want any more rookies. For whatever reason, the Bengals have not been good at drafting offensive linemen in the last 5-6 years. They just haven't worked out. So I don't want to do that.
I'm going to take you back to one even one. Andre Smith, were you happy with him?
Man, he showed up to training camp with a broken foot because he was out of shape. Now, I'm not trying to knock a player. I'm not trying to knock a guy I don't know, but I just never felt like he really fully invested to being a great offensive tackle.
I beg to differ because you know why I say that? Because he still got a 10-year career out of the NFL.
Yeah, the Bengals kept bringing him back. He signed back a couple times. He did, but he was
– He bounced around, but for – I see what you're saying for a first rounder. You're supposed to get that long of a career, you know what I mean? But you're supposed to
get that long of a career with one team and being dominant and good at your position. Like, that's the way I feel because they kept bringing him back because of injuries and all this stuff. Like, I'm never going to knock a dude that can stay in the NFL for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years. I don't care if they bounce around. I don't care if they start. They're getting their money. They're getting their pension. They're setting themselves up for a great life, you know, if they handle everything right. So I'm not going to knock him. But as a first-round pick, that's a dude that I thought was supposed to be a constant good on the line. And then, you know, you got the Jake Fishers that they drafted. You know, Jonah Williams is solid at best, but that's the best one they drafted since Wentworth left. So for whatever reason, they're just not good at drafting offensive linemen, you know, whether it's the scouting department, whether it's developing, whatever. So if I'm running the show, I'm getting guys that are already good on other teams. I'm getting vets, and I'm going to run this thing. But if they do draft, if they do keep the 31st pick, I hope it's because they signed good linemen. They went and got a Ryan Jensen. They went and got a Teron Armstead. They went and got a Connor Williams. They went and got a Laken Tomlinson. You know, some of those guys to fill in the line in free agency.
Connor Williams. You like Connor Williams? You talking about from the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's you young. Man.
It doesn't matter. He sucks ass.
I don't think he's that bad from what I've seen.
I watch him and he plays every week here at Dallas. I watch him. He gets all the penalties, can't handle the bull rush. He has no power. Sucks.
Well, he's if it's any consolation, he was last on my list. The guards that I want would be like a Laken Tomlinson type guy. And I want Ryan Jensen, the center, for Cincinnati. But so if they're picking – I really think that they need to look at another corner. If they address the line in free agency, like I hope they do, and they keep their draft pick, I think they need to look for a corner because Trey Waynes, highway robbery for 2 years. He made like $17 million a year. He played like six games or something. I don't, like, you know, something low. Like, it just hasn't worked out. I'm not going to knock the dude. He's been hurt.
They got to worry about Jesse Bates. You know what I mean? He played great this year for you guys.
So he's coming back. Whether he's on the tag or they sign him to a deal, he's coming back. He'll be in Cincinnati next year.
Yeah, because I don't think a lot of teams want him like that, but he's good for the scheme of Cincinnati. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because it's some guys that what's the kid from Oregon? I like the kid from Oregon. I don't know if he's all hype or what, the DN, Thorback, how you say it, Thorback, the kid from Oregon that had all the sacks?
Yeah. Man, I can't think of how to pronounce his last name. I know exactly.
You know, but everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not Thibodeau, is it?
Something like that. I don't know, but he's a funny dude to me too, though, because I've seen a couple of his interviews and the way he tried to handle himself, like he's NFL made ready. But it's funny seeing a lot of these guys because at the gym they train at these facilities here at Exos. MJP, a lot of guys come to Texas to train for the combine and all that. And seeing them, some of them think it's college still and it's not. I'm like, there's guys that show up late, some guys that show up on time, and they don't understand it's a business. So when a GM calls and asks them, how is he? You know what I mean? People are going to tell the truth. You know what I mean? If a GM asks me, because I have GM friends, like guys understand, yeah, I work with an agency, but I still have people in the NFL coaching world. So if I seen this kid at the gym and then he's mouthing off or doing certain things, I'm going to tell this guy, hey, it's a waste of time. It's a turd. And it's sad,
yeah.
But I'm going to be truthful because when I need this scout or GM, somebody to answer my question, they're going to ask me the same thing. What type of person is he? Do you trust them? You know what I mean? And that's the biggest thing. Can we trust you? We about to pay you all this money?
Yeah, because if you're running a gym and you're talking to the NFL and you tell them everybody in your gym is going to be a stud and they end up being shit, they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to listen to this guy's opinion anymore. Like, you have to keep it real with them for the business aspect for both sides for that relationship to continue. And I think a lot of guys don't get that because they get the NIL money or, you know, they get the Heisman, they get all the hype in college and they come and they think, okay, like, I'm that dude. But the NFL doesn't care. Like, you better act like this is your job. This isn't, you know, you rolled into practice 20 minutes late, but your coach is going to be okay with it because you're a five-star. And all. Like, no, man, this is the NFL. The gap, like, I've never liked it when people are like, you know, the Jags were terrible this year. They're like, oh, would Alabama beat the Jaguars? Like, no. Like, I hate hearing that. The gap between the best college team and the worst NFL team is still a big gap. And dudes have to understand that. Like, it's just like, so I know some of the high school kids in the program here in Ohio that are getting looks, you know, from like University of Cincinnati. There's a couple with offers from Kentucky, Tennessee. These dudes, sometimes you got to tell these kids, it's like, look, you're the man here in Dayton, Ohio. As soon as you go to Knoxville, everybody's as good as you, if not better.
You're right. This is the truth, though. They don't understand that. It's like everybody's good. You think just the only sport here? No. You the only kid stud? No, they're recruiting as many studs as they can.
Yeah, yeah. They're stacking their program with that. And I think that pro prospects should approach it with the same way. It's like as soon as I walk into this NFL locker room, everybody here, they're out for my job. And everybody here is damn near as good as me. And a lot of NFL teams will start a second year right tackle. Yeah, yeah, or already better because they've been in the league for 5 years. Like, so you have to do that. And that's one of the things I think is weird when you see a guy that gets to the league. He was that dude in college, but he gets to the league and nothing happens. Look at Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was tearing it up at Texas A&M. Animal. And he did it all hungover and on drugs. But you get to the NFL and he's upset because he's in Cleveland because Cleveland wasn't good enough for him. So everything just goes downhill. You can't just walk out onto an NFL field and do what you did in college. That's just not how the game goes.
No, it's not. It's not.
And I'm sure you, you spent 10 years watching probably a rookie coming in with a big signing bonus and a new chain and a badass car thinking he was the man. And then he gets into that onto that practice field and he's got nothing for it because everybody else has been in the league 4 or 5 years. They've been lifting NFL weights 4 or 5 years. They've been doing NFL drills 4 or 5 years and they're getting their shit rocked and they don't know what to do.
Facts. That is facts, bro. That is facts, man. It's just a better understanding.
Moving on to free agency. This is actually something I really wanted to talk to you about because I have the outsider's view of free agency. You know, I follow it on Twitter and talk about who I want my team to sign. But as a player, I know you've been out of the league for a few years, but as a player, what is it like when you know for certain when the new league year starts? Like, I have to pick my team. Like, do you have a top five before it starts? Do you do it mostly through your agent? Like, what's going through a player's head right now when he's a free agent?
Well, a free agent means you're going to be able to – you just better hope that you got another team that likes you. That's the only way you're going to get paid. That's the way I see it because some teams – a team doesn't value you all the time that you play for as another team may value you higher than the team you play for. You know what I mean? For instance, not to dwell on the past or nothing like that, but when I played for the Bengals, I was a restricted free agent. So it was basically like being a free agent because being restricted, I wasn't a draft pick. So if another team signed me to a contract, it didn't matter. The Bengals had the opportunity to match it or not. If they match it, they would have got they don't get nothing because I wasn't a draft pick. So either way, it didn't matter. So it was like being free. So I had a few teams interested in me. And most of the time in free agency, guys end up going to the team that they play at least twice a year in the division. And I ended up going to Cleveland. I gave Cleveland problems, and I felt like it was a big fit for me. So I ended up going to Cleveland and got a nice signing bonus. More money than I ever seen. You know, I never forget things like, my signing bonus was 2.5. You know, that was my whole rookie year. You know what I mean? Adding my salary because when I came into the NFL, rookie salary was only 235. You know what I mean? So it was like, right. Wow, amazing to
life changing.
Yeah, life changing. So you know to get that money. So free agency is really about the best fit for you where you could really elevate your game too. Sometimes don't chase the money. You know what I mean? Because I even had another chance at free agency in my career when I left Kansas City and took the money to go sign with Tennessee. And was like, I went to a team that I didn't know no coaches. I knew some players. So when I had my mood swings, nobody on the fucking Titans understood me. So it was like I was miserable there. I hate to say it, but I was miserable. So you have to be careful in free agency. Some guys will choose, like you see when kids choose a college over, they choose a college because of the uniforms. You can't. Yeah, it's a business decision. As long as you have two teams that want your services, you have leverage. Because somebody's going to outbid it. It becomes a bidding war and let you know how teams really value you. And that's what you want. You want your true value because you're always compared to somebody else.
And it seems like now it's different because we have the legal tampering period, which is really just free agency starting 3 days earlier. And you know, usually the league year will start at 4.
You have that, but then you also think about it too. You got the combine, trades going, working on, you know, agents representing guys on other teams. So it's just so much. I mean, it's tampering all the time, I feel like. It just don't get caught or get reported.
Well, yeah, and they probably don't want to report it because the league knows that it's good for business to keep it in the rumor cycle. Like, if we're all sitting around right now, nothing's going on, Super Bowl's over, Combine's not going on, and Adam Schefter comes out with a tweet to my phone that talks about, you know, a potential trade between Team A and Team B. Now everybody's thinking about the NFL again, so they don't care about tampering. They just have to act like they do. That's the way I feel.
I mean,
because you see now on the first day of legal tampering, it starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time. And then by 4:02, you've got three dudes that have already verbally agreed to deals with teams. It's like, so they had that shit done 2 days ago. They already
had the contract worked out and everything. And the terms, you just can't legally sign until that day.
Right. So I feel like most of that stuff is just that's just timelines where they can release certain news. I think it never stops. I don't. There's not an off season in the NFL. I'm sure that you know that better than anybody.
Yeah, nah, but it's just like any other policy. You could change it any time. Just like, you know, they make the rules too. When they wanted to stop the COVID testing, they stopped it, right? So they can continue to do it. It doesn't matter. It's just
how it's because nobody wanted to watch backups in the playoffs. Like, I'm not knocking any player in the NFL. Like I said, man, I'm on my couch watching the NFL, but nobody wants to watch these third string and backup quarterbacks start playoff games because they were in a meeting room with a guy. And the NFL knew that. They knew they weren't going to mess with the money. That's why week 18 dudes were out because of COVID. And then the first week of the playoffs wild card round, they said, we're going to stop testing. Like, it is what it is.
Money like, grabber, man. They control what they want to control, man. It's a control mafia, man. The NFL control mafia, 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 mafia.
No, well, see, this is crazy because my dad was actually he was a police officer around here for 20 years, and he retired. And he had a buddy that was he was a Nike scout. He worked for Nike. And he supposedly had these connections with like the NFL that was going to get my dad like an NFL job, but like he could never work the Bengals because my dad was a former Bengals season ticket holder. But they were talking about how crazy it is. Like, you as a player can get fined because your socks don't meet your knees right in your uniform. Like there was stuff that they hire these dudes into these stadiums to be like, all right, that guy's got a uniform violation because of his socks. Like, is that crazy?
And that fine comes. It comes.
That's wild to me.
It's wild, but it's the truth, man. It's crazy how that shit happens all the time. We call them the uniform police. You know, they always on the sideline marking everything. They give you a warning. That's the thing. But some guys don't care. Like guys like Chad, he didn't care. Got a fine every week. You know what I mean?
I got the Ocho jersey hanging up right over there.
Yeah, man, it's mainly your DBs. It's your DBs and wide receivers that get the fines all the time for uniform policy. They always want to look, you know, they're the prima donnas. And with them,
and fines go to charity, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. But you don't ever know what charity it goes to because you should be able to choose what charity it goes to. But, you know, each team does different things in different ways. You know, speaking of charities, my charity actually has something coming up here pretty soon, too. The Sean Smith 91 Ways Foundation. We have Read Across America on March 2nd. We're going to go to a public school, elementary school here in Dallas. Me and a couple of my guys, LJ Carler from the Seattle Seahawks, Justin Medibike from the Ravens, Brendan Fajoco from the Chargers, the two of the rookies that's a rookie this year, PV and Hansford, and a couple of people from Team Sports Agency, from the agency, are going to go read to some kids in the low-income areas for the day, read to a couple of classes, and just, you know, keep promoting childhood literacy.
I think that's awesome, man. I love when players do it, and I love when former players continue to do it because, you know, you're not in the NFL spotlight anymore. A lot of those dudes could just stop doing it because the cameras aren't going to pick it up and, you know, they're not going to look good. I love it when players keep doing that. Like, I loved hearing about Whitworth when he got his Walter Payton.
Yeah, that was major. That was huge. You know what I mean? I feel like that was a big statement right then when Whitworth got his accolades for that, you know.
And you know, players, Pac-Man Jones, I talk to Pac-Man every now and then on Instagram. We're like Instagram friends. Like Pac-Man Jones and Perfect, they were always in the news for, you know, the bad reasons. They were the problem children and all that. But every year in Cincinnati, they loaded up trucks full of bikes and went, you know, brought kids from like low-income areas and situations like that and gave them out. Joe Mixon actually kind of carried that on in Cincinnati. Joe Mixon still does that every Christmas. And sometimes those things, I don't think they get the publication that they deserve. Now, I know a lot of players aren't doing it because they want it to be on TV. But I do think that, you know, you guys continue to do that. You continuing to use your NFL connections to bring current players into those things. I think that's awesome. And I think that, you know, the NFL and just media everywhere should pay a little bit more attention to that instead of
they don't
trying to figure out.
But I don't do it. Like, I – Man, I've been doing this from when I was in college. I don't do this shit for no attention or nothing. I do it from the kindness of my heart. I'm in the process also with these little libraries, buying little libraries, building them, and putting them in the low-income area so kids could have a place to go to the book, get a book and read. You know, everybody can't have the transportation to go to the ride to the library. You know what I mean? And just right. in the neighborhood. You know, I feel like if you take care of your neighborhood and your community, it'll be a lot more safer than, you know, this is where you at. Why not get back into your community?
And that's why I like, I just finished up a 6-year run of coaching peewee football, and I got started because my nephew was playing. But like, that's the cool thing. Like, I don't have, you know, NFL connections or, you know, NFL paychecks, but like, I could do something, you know, and you know, I bought kids equipment, gave kids rides. You know, yeah, some kids, you know, don't have a dad at home.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you're a mentor, you're a father figure, you're everything to these kids, and they look up to you. Like, even now that I don't play no more, kids still happy to know, oh man, you're an NFL, former NFL player. You played. So how was it? Like, did you make a lot of money? Oh, who's the most famous person you played with? How was that? Was they, you know, it's just, it's funny, but it's the truth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's cool. You know, we live completely different lives. We're in different sides of the country, but yeah, everybody can find some kind of way to make where they live or what they do better. And I think, you know, whether it's volunteering your time to, you know, coach a youth football team or, you know, getting, you know, projects together to help fund literacy and getting books to people, I think that is incredibly dope. And that's one of the best things that I think NFL players are able to do off the field is make that impact, because you get on, you know, a podcast or a video and start talking about something, people are going to listen a little bit more than if I get on there and start talking about it.
Most definitely not, but you got a voice, you know, just like different things picking up for you. Just look how quick things picked up for you, and you didn't even have to do much, bro. Just
right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm working.
I'm just being honest, your hard work is paying off, bro. You didn't even fully work with me, and look what happened. You know what I mean? Right. You know what I mean? So, we didn't even have a show done yet and got you plugged in. So, you know what I mean? It's just about when you treat people good and right, things, good things, you get your blessings, man. That's the way I always see it. So that's why I do the stuff out of the kindness of my heart, because you got to put the work in now to receive the fruits and labor of everything else later on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, now, let's kind of switch gears a little bit, because, you know, you're talking about the goodness of your heart. Let's talk about some badness of the heart we saw in college basketball the other day, man. What in the world? Juwan Howard throwing hands.
Yeah, he was throwing hands, but I'm not even mad at him. I got a little grief from guys. One of my buddies, Eric Warford, hit me with a text. Like, I almost told you to take that tweet down. I'm just like, why? I said, he's my hero. I said, that's the problem with the world today. People do things, and then you wonder why, like, you can't beat their ass for it. Like, what's wrong with it? Like, everything was, yeah, Juwan, you shouldn't have been mad. Don't be mad because they call a timeout, you're getting blown, you just blowing you out. It was the principle with him. And not only just that, though, even after that, it was, yeah, he going to shake hands, but when the coach put his hands on his chest to stop him from going forward, then it's a problem. Because then I got to protect myself.
Yeah, he was trying to walk away. He said, I'm going to remember that shit. But he was trying to keep walking, and the other coach, like stopped him. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, hold on, man.
Then grabbed his hand. So it was like, I'm defense mode. Then the other assistant coach came up, and I'm just like, oh, bro, you know what I mean? And like I told people, he's fine to live the consequences regardless. You know what I mean? If he doesn't coach no more, He's straight. Come on, man. He played in the NBA for how long?
He's paid.
You know what I mean? So he, you know, and I'm like, people saying, oh, he's supposed to be a leader of a team. Yeah, he's a leader of a team. Shit, you see his team, his players are ready to scrap and ready for him. So that lets you know. Yep. You want your player to run through a brick wall. That lets you know he's doing positive stuff with them kids and everything. It was just kind of erratic to me that when they were saying, oh, man, I'm like, bro, relax. What would you do? Because the thing is, people hide behind their jobs and all this stuff. But in the real world, if you put your hands on a man outside in the street, you get your ass beat. Period.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, he's supposed to lead those kids and everything. But if I'm walking through the mall, I've got my daughter with me, and somebody starts putting their hands on me, I have to show my daughter that in this world, you have to stand up for yourself also.
Yeah, defense mode. Defense mode.
You know, coaches are going to argue. They're going to go back and forth.
Stuff in the press conference too, though. That was the crazy part of it. He said it. He put his hands on him.
That's why I don't think it's that big of a deal because, I mean, and let's be real. Everybody said he threw a punch. His hand was open. He hit him with an open hand and like pushed his head.
When you listen to that, he just mushed him.
Yeah. He didn't punch that guy.
He didn't really get him how he really wanted to get him. So, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like if he really wanted to punch him, he would have closed his fist and delivered. But I don't know. I understand that he's going to get in some trouble. The NCAA has to do something. Michigan probably has to do something for the optics of the situation. But that I'm not as mad about it as everybody else seems.
Oh, they made it such a big deal. All right, I'll suspend him before the tournament. Okay.
Yeah, 5 games or something. I don't know.
We got March Madness coming up. Come on, man. He's bringing back to the program to play there. So,
you ever see any NFL coaches like really get into it in a post game? Like I remember Jim Harbaugh and Jim Schwartz when Harbaugh was with the Niners and Schwartz was in Detroit. That was kind of heated. Did you ever see any like real nasty like post game arguments with coaches like at midfield?
Not at midfield or nothing like that. You just knew coaches didn't have the respect for a person. They'll talk shit about them in the locker room. They hate that
one. Yeah, because I know Marvin Lewis wasn't going out there starting shit or anything at the 50, but I didn't know.
Marv was a cool dude, but Marv talked his shit, though. He talked his shit, and he was a good coach, you know what I mean? He just was different, you know what I mean? He's just different.
I didn't know. Like, I've seen some tough handshakes and stuff like that, but I've never seen two dudes get into it like that in the NFL. I would like to see, like – I want to see Andy Reid fight somebody. I want to see Andy Reid just real pissed off at somebody one day.
But I don't think that. I don't think Andy Reid. Nah, you know what? It got to be a young coach. It can't be Andy Reid. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it can't. It wouldn't be an old coach. It'd be a young coach right now that you'll see go on. You know what I mean?
We had John Harbaugh and Zach Taylor get into it a little bit this past year in the second game. Baltimore had a lot of dudes hurt, a lot of dudes on COVID, and Joe Burrow threw like a 50-yard bomb to Joe Mixon when we were up like 20 points right at the end, and John Harbaugh was a little pissed off about that. But Wink Martindale had been talking shit about Joe Burrow, so Joe Burrow put the record on him, franchise record passing yards. I think that's why they did it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, and that's what team – that's when coaches don't like you, and that's kind of what drew to Juwan Howard. You know what I mean? That's just what happens. It's like because now from now on, Michigan is going to always remember that. So now they have a rivalry. It's always going to be a problem. Always.
Yeah, they're going to see each other again probably in the Big Ten tournament. Like, and it's not going to be too long from now. You know, those little things always stick.
No, you're right. Totally right. So it's gonna be interesting, man. But I'm it's gonna be interesting to see what compliance do, the NCAA do, and all that. So see what happens. See what happens, man. But I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if any big sanctions happen like that.
No, I could see him sitting a couple games, and that's probably about it. Because I don't think Michigan wants to lose their coach right before the tournament. I don't think they're gonna do it. And I can't see. I don't know. If anybody's going to do anything that I think is too much, it'll be the NCAA. I don't think it'll be the University of Michigan.
No, it's just going to be shocking to see what happens. That's all. I'm just shocked to see what happens. So,
but, yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, and everything will work itself out. But, you know, hey, it's basketball, right? You're going to have a celebrity boxing match now? You'll capitalize off of that?
Yeah, after your career, do one of the things that Jake Paul and them's doing. Get all that damn money.
Yeah, because they're winning. They're winning doing that, man. But
yeah, absolutely. Everybody hates him and talks shit about him, and he's not a real boxer. I don't think he cares, bro. He's getting millions of dollars for this. Like, he doesn't care if you think he's a real boxer.
No, he doesn't. It's about the money. Show me the money. You heard Jerry Maguire. But
I would hop in an octagon with a UFC star right now and let him knock me slick the hell out for $1 million.
For $1 million?
Yeah.
What about 500K?
I don't know about like a punch to the face. Maybe like maybe take a rib shot. I mean, I'm going to have to spend probably $100,000 on fixing my face.
Insurance.
I don't think my policy is that good.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I have to read up on it. I don't know.
But yeah, man, that's just crazy. With that being said, let's get ready to wrap out as we fine tune this, come down to the end of the show, towards the end of the show. Do you have your predictions for the Super Bowl next year? Who will be in the
Super Bowl? Way too early Super Bowl predictions. Now, obviously, a lot can change with the draft and free agency and all of that. But if I had to pick right now, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay, goes to the Super Bowl, and then he's going to retire after next year. I think win or lose. But I think he's going to get Green Bay to the Super Bowl, and they're going to play the Buffalo Bills. As much as I want to say the Bengals will be right back, a lot of Bengals fans on my Twitter are like, oh, it's cool. We'll go back next year. Like, you don't get how hard it is to get here.
It's hard to even make it to the playoffs, let alone.
Yeah, it's hard to win your division.
Yeah.
So I got Packers against the Bills. I personally like Aaron Rodgers a lot. I know he's been a target of a lot of people kind of hating on him. I've always liked Aaron Rodgers a lot, and I like Aaron Rodgers even more now that he's into like the later years and he's just going to say whatever the hell he wants to say. I think that's dope. So I'm going to say the Packers beat the Bills.
The Packers and the Bills. Wowzers.
That's my early pick.
Your early pick, man. I'm going to say Kansas City and I think the Rams have a chance to make it back.
See, I thought about picking the Rams, but I got to see how Odell comes off an injury if he stays. I got to see if they re-sign Von Miller. See, they got a lot of those late in the career star guys at the end of these deals. I got to see who they bring back and how they maneuver without having a draft pick, because they don't have a first round draft pick till I think 2024. So I want to see how they kind of navigate that before I pick them. But they're going to be in it. They're definitely going to be in the mix.
Perfectly, perfectly, perfect. We'll see what happens. See what happens. We will see what happens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the closing out of the 3-Point Stands with Sean Smith and my lovely co-host, Drew Garrison, man. Join us for episode 3 next week where we have a mystery guest. I don't want to tell y'all about who it's going to be, but we'll let you guys know sooner or later when you check in and tune in. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. We'll have a good night, man. We'll talk to everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's going down.